Welcome. Thanks for checking out Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. I'm Michael Costello, the lead pastor here, and I appreciate you taking the time. I hope you find this message encouraging and challenging. If you haven't already, check out our website, gcnaz.church, and get all the information about us. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Good morning and welcome in. Thanks for tuning in to our message today. If you're watching online, just know that we don't have graphics on the screen today, but good news is there's not a lot of things to write down, so it's good, and not a lot of scripture today. I'm going to focus in on just a couple scriptures, and so it'll be real easy, and I'll let you know when we get there what you can write down. Well, over the last 3 weeks, we've been in a series called Jesus Is. And we've been looking at a better way, a more contemporary way to understand Jesus in our language, in our understanding. We've talked about Jesus is our friend. We've talked about Jesus is grace, that his life is an emblem of grace. And then last week, we talked about Jesus is the point. He is our North Star. He is our direction. He is our lighthouse that we move, our life moves towards if we are a Christian. Well, today, the focus is that Jesus is the source of true joy. And joy and happiness are two different things. And so we're going to define that today. We're going to show you that today. But Jesus is the true source of joy. To be quite honest, he's the only source of joy. That joy only comes from God. It doesn't come from anywhere else. Happiness may come from other places, but joy does not. To get us started today, I want to share a quick story with you. I'm going to bring you back to your childhood, okay? And I'm going to specifically talk about my childhood. Now, when I was a kid, one of the things that was a big deal was having a cool bike. As a boy growing up in the suburbs of Chicago, having a cool bike was an important deal. If you were going to be cool, if you were going to be the who's who of the neighborhood, you had to have a cool bike. And for most of my life, up until this point, probably about 6-7 years old, I had a bike that was handed down, usually from my dad or from my sister or from friends or neighbors or whatever. Like I rarely had a brand new bike. And I remember, you might remember this, back in the day, they had these like Sears gift books. There were these big, thick books that would come in like right about now in the year, like August, September time. And you would get these books that had all of these cool toys, right? Girls' toys, boys' toys. I mean, it was just cool stuff, lots of cool stuff. And I remember that I had been talking to my parents about, I need a new bike. I really want a new bike for Christmas this year. And I specifically wanted a Huffy. Now Huffies are like no big deal. But back then, like if you had a Huffy, a brand new Huffy, that was a good deal. That was a cool deal. Like you were the cool kid on the block if you had a Huffy. So I asked my mom and I asked my dad, and they both said it's not going to happen. Stop thinking about it. You can ask Santa Claus, but it's probably not going to happen. You know, don't even think about it. Well, Christmas rolls around, and Christmas Eve, and I get ready to go to bed, and I was so anxious. I was like, man, Santa's going to come through, right? Santa's going to bring me my Huffy. Like, this is going to happen. I'm going to have a Huffy. I'm going to be the cool kid on the block, and I was so hopeful. I had this anticipation, like nobody's business, that I was going to get the Huffy. Well, then, Christmas Sunday or Christmas Day, I don't actually know if it was a Sunday, but Christmas Day rolls around. I wake up, run downstairs, probably like, I don't know, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. My parents were dead asleep. And I audibly yelled because in front of the Christmas tree was a Huffy. Red, white, black, beautiful big tires. Just a great looking bike. I mean, it was snazzy. And right on it had this tag from Michael, from mom and dad. And I was just pumped. Let me tell you, I was so excited that I had gotten the Huffy that I had been asking for Christmas. And I don't know about you, but when those moments happen, particularly in childhood, as a kid, there's no other joy that you can really explain but that. I was so excited. Now, I'm not going to belabor you with the story, but the next summer that bike got stolen because I was an idiot. I'll tell you that story some other time. But I did get my Huffy, and I experienced a joy as a kid like none other. It was amazing to get that Huffy. So here's our first point today. Every person, we are all in search for joy. We are all in search for joy. Now, we pursue joy in different ways. We kind of talked about this a little bit last week with our pursuit, our point, our purpose of our life. We pursue joy in people. We pursue joy in activities. We pursue joy in sports, right? Or drama or music. We pursue joy in our spouse or our significant others. We pursue joy in our kids. We pursue joy in money and wealth and stuff. We pursue joy through our career. There's lots of different ways we try to pursue and gain joy. Everybody wants joy, right? Well, there's some shortcomings when it comes to worldly joy. Or I would call it worldly happiness. You can write this down. Worldly joy / happiness is fleeting, and quite often it leaves us empty. Because happiness is a short-term condition of the heart. Joy is a condition of the spirit that lives inside of us. And it's long term. And when we pursue things that are not of God, that are of this world, our happiness will be fleeting. We will not experience joy unless we're pursuing it from the right place. There is lasting joy found in Jesus. You can write this down. Jesus offers a more lasting and profound joy. Jesus offers a more lasting and profound joy. Nothing that you do on this planet is going to produce joy for you that is ever in comparison to the joy that is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus is joy. Why at Christmas time we sing Christmas carols like Joy to the World. Here's our second point this morning. The Bible offers the correct perspective of joy. Because see, our world gives us an incorrect view of joy. We try to make joy and happiness the same thing. That joy that I spoke of when I came down the stairs and saw that bike is not the same kind of joy. That joy immediately disappeared when my bike got stolen. Happiness and joy are not the same thing. Again, happiness is temporary. Joy is forever. Let's take a look at an example from the Old Testament. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11 says this. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. And that you is God. Joy is found in his presence. Joy is found in the pleasure of living with God in His world, in His kingdom forever. You see, the Old Testament perspective of joy was that joy only came from God Himself. That being in God's presence, following God, was the way you achieve joy. David figured this out. David pursued earthly pleasure. He tried to fulfill his life with things that were not of God. And in the Psalms, you see this laid out over and over again. Every time David realized that joy can only be found through God Himself. Let's take a look at an example from the New Testament. So we've seen the Old Testament and Psalms. Let's go take a look at an example from the New Testament. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. And this is Paul speaking. He says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Always be full of joy in the Lord." We cannot have joy without the Lord being part of it. Our joy is sourced from Jesus Christ Himself. Which leads us to our final point. Jesus is the source of all joy. Jesus is the source of all joy. Because Jesus is God. Just like the Old Testament Israelites, they realized that joy comes from God. Jesus is God, therefore all joy comes from Jesus. See how that works? There are three characteristics of joy that come from the Lord. First characteristic is this: it's unconditional. Joy in Jesus is not based on your circumstances. Do you know that you can have joy even if you're going through a horrible trial in your life? You can. Now, you may not be happy in that trial, but you can have joy. Second characteristic is this: joy in Jesus is transformative. It changes us, and it changes our view of the world and the people around us. Joy from the Lord is a transformative type of joy. Happiness doesn't change us, at least not in any long-term lasting way. I mean, it may change us in the moment to be happy, right? But it doesn't stick with us. Joy changes our perspective. It makes us look at our world. It makes us look at other people different. It changes the way we pray, the way we read scripture. Joy transforms us. The third thing is, joy from God, joy from Jesus, is contagious. The old phrase from the late 90s, early 2000s was contagious Christianity. And that's, you know, went by the wayside over a course of a little while, but here's the truth. Somebody who has joy from the Lord is a contagious personality, a person you want to be around, right? Many of us have experienced somebody like this who is so filled with the joy of the Lord that they are just attractive to everybody around them. There's no one that doesn't want to be around them because they are so joy-filled. The truth is, the joy that we find in Jesus Christ, in our relationship with Him, it's meant to be shared. There is an evangelistic piece to joy. Joy calls us to share our joy with other people. What is God doing in your life? As we bring our time together to a close this morning, let me give you a couple tips on how to experience joy in Jesus right now, starting today. First of all, you need to focus. Focus on your relationship with Jesus. Joy flows from a heart that is focused on Christ. You see how these messages are all beginning to tie together? They're woven together. We need to spend time with him and listen for his voice. His voice. Number two, we need to choose to have joy in every circumstance. And you say, well, I can't choose that. Like, who chooses to have joy in bad circumstances? You choose it. Look at these examples. So Jesus chose to have joy in what quite literally is the worst experience a human being could ever go through. He took the weight of every sin, all shame, all guilt onto his shoulders. He bore all of that on the cross, and yet he had joy. We read in Philippians, that passage 4:4. Do you know that Paul wrote that while he was in prison? How do you have joy? How could Paul, sitting in a prison cell, which would have been like a dungeon, how could he write, have joy always? Because you can't. You have to choose it. John is sitting, the Apostle John, he's sitting on the island of Patmos, isolated, alone, all by himself. And he writes the book of Revelation. That only happens because he had joy. And he knew there was hope. God was bigger than all of his circumstances of life. Leaving out the fact that the guy had literally had tar, hot tar, poured on him at this point in his life. I imagine he was disfigured and looked disgusting. But he had joy. Peter talks about joy in 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. Peter was hung upside down on a cross. He was crucified in a more terrible way than Jesus, and that's hard to imagine. He was hung upside down on a cross. Isn't that crazy? But yet he had joy. And the last example we see in Acts chapter 7, verses 59 through 60. Stephen, the disciple, he wasn't an apostle, but he was one of the disciples of Jesus. He gets arrested, and he shares the gospel. He shares truth with the Pharisees who are trying him. And as he's being stoned, he's worshiping his God. That's joy in every circumstance. Again, we have to choose to have joy in every circumstance, church. And then finally, we need to engage in fellowship with community. Our community, not only just here, but in our larger community of Greenwood, South Carolina, Greenwood County, we get joy from the Lord by serving each other, living life together in community. Joy is often best experienced, and I would even say it's amplified within a community of believers. We experience joy together as one body, as a unit. We're also filled with joy when we serve people, when we are able to go out into our community and help others. We're going to talk about that in just a little bit. If you would like to help in a love offering, some of our men went and helped a guy who's been going to our church for a little while now, Richard. They built a ramp at his house. And if you'd like to help with a love offering, please do that. Send in a check. You can do it through our giving portal. Just designate on there, note on there that it's for Richard's ram. And we'll get the money where it needs to go. But when we serve our community, when we serve each other this way, God gives us joy. Long-lasting joy. To wrap this all up, we're all in search for joy. Every human being is in search for joy. And the Bible is where we find the correct perspective on joy. We need to have Scripture back up what joy is. And the ultimate truth of this is, Jesus is the source of all joy. We talked about Jesus being the point last week. That he is the centerpiece for us. He is the guiding point for us to follow. If you want joy, Jesus needs to be at the center of your relationship with him. If you want to experience this joy and come to know Jesus, today is the time. The altars are open. The baptistry is ready to go. We are ready to baptize you. We are ready to pray with you at any time to accept Jesus into your heart and life. Let's pray. Father God, help us to find joy in you. Help us to recognize and to live into the truth that you are the source of all of our joy. Joy doesn't come from anywhere else. It comes just from you. Father, help us to focus our hearts. For anyone who has given their life to Jesus, given their life to you, they've chosen to follow you, I pray that they would live into that decision. That they would let their church know that they've made that decision so that we can help them, we can equip them, we can support them in that and encourage them and at least cheer them on. And then, Father, I pray for those who need to make the decision to be baptized and to declare their faith to the world. I pray that they would make that decision and take that step of faith to dive into the water and come up changed and transformed. Father, we pray this in your name. Amen. We'll see you next week. Installation service is coming up. It's going to be a great time. October 15th. I don't know why I said December. October 15th. Next Sunday. If you watch us online and have never visited, this is a great time to join us in person. Come to our service 10:45. Our district superintendent, Sam Flores, will be here to preach and to install me officially as the pastor of Greenwood Community Church of the Nazarene. It's going to be a great time. Again, be here next Sunday. It's going to be great. We'll see you then.